everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Crime and Coffee Couple. My name's Allison.
And my name's Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, what's up, girl?
What's up?
We're making the debut, the grand debut of the new wallpaper that you put up that I had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Yay me.
You had nothing to do with this mix.
How about that, folks? Some of those calling me out saying you're not going to have anything to do with it. I got through with it, okay? Because somehow I had to work, is what it was.
He had to work.
Well, you know, so once Allison gets something in her head, as you all know, it has to be done immediately. And, you know, I work like a 9-to-5. So she happened to do it. You know, she gets home at a reasonable hour, like 2-ish, 3-ish, whatever.
Because well, I
she
start gets work started at 4.
I was just going to say that. Thank you very much.
In the a.m.
Yep, 4 a.m. So, yeah, she gets home at a reasonable hour and I'm still working because I'm in sales.
Oh, yeah. So I know you are. You work so hard.
Yes. So I was like, I can't get up and just like do wallpaper for 2 hours. Like,
oh, yes.
It's like there might be some days where I could possibly do that, but like just now isn't the time.
now is not the time.
Well, we got end of quarter, you know.
Yeah, goes. Yada yada. So the point is, I got shit done.
Yeah,
and the office is done.
It looks wonderful.
So I was gonna paint on Wednesday because it's my day off, and then Tuesday came, and I was like, hell no, I'm doing this right now.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're ordering Chinese food for dinner, and I'm focusing on this.
If you need something done in your life, just hire Allison.
Just hire me. I read or heard something on a podcast that said companies really need to hire moms.
I read the same thing. They must be showing us the same things.
Moms get shit done.
They do. Yeah.
Because we have to. We are multitasking queens.
Have to be.
Because especially if you're working full time and you have kids that are in activities, there's only so many hours in the day. So you got to just get shit done. You put your nose to the grindstone and you just do it. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are more females in the workplace and higher places. I'm all for it. Why not?
But the real point is the poo brown walls are gone.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
They are gone.
It does feel better. It's like it feels more freeing. So I hope everybody likes it here. And a lot of people asked about it because we posted on Instagram what it looked like, and they asked about the wallpaper, so we should probably post a link to it.
Well, that will be this week's Allison's Amazon addiction.
Oh, was I jumping ahead?
No, you weren't.
Okay, good.
You kind of led me into that segue.
Okay, perfect. See, I almost like know you.
You do.
It's like we've been together.
You know, just a couple days ago, we celebrated 27 official years together of dating.
Of dating.
Yeah.
And intercourse, since it was the same day.
No, it was not. I wouldn't let you touch me because I was a prude.
Sexual congress is what we called
yeah.
it. We're like, would you approve of sexual congress?
And I was like, no, I do not.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely didn't. It was a long time.
It was a long time. So anyway, Mike, get your mind out of the gutter. Let's get back to business. This wallpaper, I have to tell you, is very good quality. So if you
It freaking better be.
Look, it is expensive. If you are looking into doing a feature wall and you wanted something a little, what's the word you would use for this? Like gothic, maybe?
Definitely. Well, skulls will definitely be gothic. Yeah.
Black skulls would be considered gothic.
I agree.
But the thing is, it's not like a punch you in the face gothic. It's kind of subtle and classy.
Yeah, yeah. Like you could walk by it and not completely know. Although, yeah, like right behind this camera, if you're seeing this on YouTube, is where people walk into our house. So
it's our foyer.
Yeah, it's the first thing you see would be this wall. So I think it's hard to kind of notice that there's not something gothic going on, which I'm not a super gothic guy, but I approve of this still. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And really, it's important that you like it because this is your office.
You know, I should start like do other things like Korn and Pantera in here, like their albums and whatever.
I mean, I guess if you have some free walls
that
here,
might like fit the.
That's your business, Mike.
Whole idea.
Totally. If there's a cool poster or something that you like,
ooh,
I like it.
I just went to The Cure this week too, so that would fit.
Ooh, you liked that one poster too.
Yeah, it sold out, and then now they made it in a pink one. So I guess The Cure, just so you know, real quick, they're making like their own posters for every single city that they go to, and I thought the poster was super cool. I'm like, oh, that's a cool poster, but I don't need it. I didn't realize it was just for Tampa.
Damn you and your cheapness! It bites us in the ass
sometimes
again.
Sometimes it does. So yeah, I went to The Cure by myself. Second concert I went to by myself. One of our friends was going and she was super excited and I was getting jealous and I was like, hun, do you mind if I just like go find a single ticket and go? And you're like, yeah, go for it.
Because what was it like Thursday night? I'm like, I'm gonna be sleeping.
Yeah, and it was like $60 I think, and yeah, I got like good 300 level tickets and saw right into the stage, and it was
awesome.
Oh,
love them.
So good.
Love. I think I just had a little mini stroke. Oh, and also if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm drinking a Starbucks iced shaken oat milk espresso, brown
homemade
sugar.
Homemade.
Yeah. So if you like, you know, those drinks at Starbucks, this took us like a minute to make and saved us a lot of cash.
That's another thing. Let's put a link to the recipe.
It's actually Starbucks recipe.
Yeah. So it's super easy. I mean, Allison makes this for the kids and, well, our son.
But who's now I'm out of oat milk. So if I want another one, I can't have it.
Don't worry. We got a grocery delivery coming later.
Oat milk's not coming.
Oh, crap.
Son of a bitch.
I'm making a run.
All right. Let's get to business here.
I want to say real quick, hey, thanks for leaving any kind of reviews or if you're on Spotify, there's this cool feature they add that's like a question and answer. So or just questions. I don't know. If you have something to say about the episode, go on to Spotify. You can leave it on the actual episode. So that's kind of cool. But anywhere you can leave us a review, tell your friends and family about us. We really appreciate it.
Super appreciate. So I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So this is the story of the disappearance of Sierra Breland. So on February 19th, 2022, 31-year-old Sierra Breland traveled from her home in Indiana to Georgia. She was going to visit her family with 37-year-old husband, Xavier Breland. They were traveling with their 5-month-old son, Jackson, and their white golden doodle, Baker. They were driving in Sierra's 2017 white Volkswagen. Is it Tiguan?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an SUV.
Yeah. My coworker had it. I just wasn't sure if I was saying that right. So they were making the 11-hour drive from Indiana down to Georgia, down south. So they planned to use the trip to catch up with family that Sierra hadn't seen since she had moved to Indiana about a year prior. So Sierra was born on January 10th, 1991 in Georgia to parents Nick and Kelly Locklear. She attended the University of Tennessee. She went on to law school at Florida State University. She became a lawyer. She was specializing in insurance defense while working in Atlanta, Georgia. So Kelly's mom indicated that Sierra had overcome some health issues throughout her life when she was younger. She was a very happy girl. She was energetic and she pushed through these obstacles. She was very loving. She was extremely driven, as it would be to become a lawyer. It's not easy.
Yeah, I took a couple law legal classes and those were a snooze fest.
But yeah, when I start to get into the law parts of these cases, it's like right over my head.
You got to be very detail oriented.
And I am not. So clearly she was. She was a smart girl. She was very driven. So her mom said that Sierra was a Georgia girl through and through. And her dream was to live and work in Atlanta someday. So she did start with that dream. She was working out of Atlanta. So despite her career focus, she always made time to prioritize her family. She always wanted to be close to them. She would call home to catch up. Her mom, I believe, made a comment that she would sometimes talk to her dad as much as 5 or 6 hours a day on the phone.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot. Like, I am just not a phone girl. I do not enjoy talking on the phone.
I almost feel like I barely have 5 to 6 hours of wakefulness after, like, you know, working out, sleeping, cooking dinner, you know, doing like work and stuff. Like, there's not much time left after
I guess
that.
If you put your earbuds in and you walk around talking to somebody, it's different.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine like sitting and talking. But the point is, she really, really kept her connection with her family. That's really sweet. The point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our parents are like, why don't you ever call home?
Because you're boring and you're a pain in the ass and you complain about things like newspapers.
Right. So Sierra's dad, Nick, describes his daughter as outgoing, someone who likes sports and movies. Sierra and Xavier's relationship progressed very quickly. They met on... So I heard a couple of different reports. One report said they met on Tinder in October of 2020. Another indicated that they met because Sierra was representing him in some sort of a case. So regardless, they met in October of 2020. They were married 6 months later. By that time, she had discovered that she was pregnant. So it was on the fast track. So Sierra worked as a paralegal. She had previously assisted Xavier in a dispute with his ex-wife. They were newly married, and the issues between Xavier and his ex became so heated that that's when the couple made the decision to relocate from Georgia up to Indiana. And it sounds like he had some family up there. His father lived up in Indiana, so that's why they chose that location. So Sierra's family did start to notice changes in her behavior when they met and started progressing in the relationship. One of the things was that Sierra opted not to have a wedding when she got married, And her family truly didn't even know that she was married until after it was official.
Yeah, I'm going to guess she talked to her dad less, but we'll see.
So it was definitely something they noticed. And Sierra's aunt had said that it wasn't like her niece at all. She was somebody that talked about her wedding. She dreamed about the day that it would happen.
Well, somebody so family oriented, you would think so. It'd be like sharing all the details.
Sure. And you would want your family to be there with you to share in that monumental time of your life.
Yeah, this is a one and done thing, hopefully.
Hopefully that's the goal when we go into these things. So, you know, she would talk about the dresses, talk about where she would have her wedding. So the fact that she got married and her family didn't even truly know was very startling to them. So as they made their fresh start in Indiana, Sierra got a job as an associate attorney at Gordon Reese Scully Mansacani, which was a law firm in Indianapolis. When they made the drive back to Georgia for their visit, they arrived at Sierra's parents' house in Cleveland, Georgia on the night of Saturday, February 19th. They were visiting with family, with nieces and nephews. They had a great visit. Sierra's mom, Kelly Locklear, said that her daughter had actually come home with another intention that her husband did not know. Xavier didn't realize that his wife had other things on her mind. She had planned to find a new job and start to put her roots back in Georgia where her family was.
That's, you know, good for her, but at the same time, you got to tell your husband.
Well, there's a lot going on here that we're going to talk about.
So there's something going on that you're not, you know,
a lot of red flags here.
Yeah.
So Sierra had been talking with her family about her intentions of leaving Xavier over the previous 1 to 2 months.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, right. You know, if you're in a committed relationship, you're probably telling them. If you're trying to get out, you're probably not going to.
Right, exactly. So she told them that his abusive behavior was escalating and she wanted to get a divorce. She had been secretly saving money and she planned to move in with her family until she was able to get back on her feet. She planned to pose this trip to Xavier as a visit with her family. His mom, they were also going to visit with as well. So it's, hey, let's go back to Georgia. We'll hang out with my family. We'll go see your mom. So the plan was then that she was going to stay back in Georgia permanently. So it was a big trip.
Her plan, right?
That was her plan.
Yeah.
He knows nothing of this.
Got it.
So cracks within the relationship developed as far back as June of 2021. And as you remember me saying, they met in October of 2020. So it didn't take long for these cracks to start showing. And we know how a lot of times these relationships go.
Well, you had the kid and you feel like you should marry each other. And then it's like later. And then, yeah, you're kind of forced into it.
Well, a lot of the times these people that become abusive, they put their best face forward. They put this picture of this person who is like chivalrous and giving and kind and loving. And that's where they come with the term love bombing. Mm. They love bomb you to bamboozle you into thinking that they're one way. But then once they've got you locked in for what they think, you're pregnant and you're married, that's when they start to show their true colors. So that's what was going on here.
So scary. It's so absolutely insane.
It's terrible. And I can't imagine how helpless you must feel in this situation, because you probably also feel very much in danger of what this person could be capable of. So these cracks started to show as they were starting to make their move from Georgia to Indiana, which is scary because now Sierra is going from her hometown where she has her support system up to Indiana where she doesn't. And that's the whole isolating thing. I'm sure that had part to do with it, that his goal was to get her away from the people that would see these red flags and pull her out of it.
And probably his idea not to tell anybody about the wedding and all that stuff. Like, no, it's just going to be us, babe. It's just going to be us.
It's all about our love.
Right.
Where really it's not. It's about control and isolation. So Sierra admitted that she was in a bad situation, and several times she did openly discuss that she should leave with certain people. So as time went by, Xavier became increasingly aggressive and possessive. Sierra was alarmed by this change in behavior because, again, he probably put a great face forward. So now all of a sudden she's like, holy shit, what did I get myself into? So she's starting to get the wheels in motion of like, I need to get out of this relationship. Though, as these controlling people tend to do, time and time again, he managed to win her back, telling her that he loved her, he was sorry, he would be better, he can't live without her, please give me another chance. And Sierra was a very kind-hearted person. She was a new mother, and she wanted to try her best for her family to keep it together.
Everybody knows, you know, the home is better when, you know, the mom and dad are together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, unfortunately, they stay together and shouldn't have, you know.
So she was trying to make the relationship work. There were also an interview with her parents where there were sometimes, like, I know on one occasion an officer did have to come out to respond to some sort of domestic dispute, and the officer was very concerned because he could see that Sierra was trying to make excuses for Xavier to so that he didn't get in trouble, because then, of course, it's going to be on his record. And the officer made a statement like, she's in trouble here, and this can get bad very quickly. Something bad can really happen in this situation.
Well, police officers see that a lot. I mean, that's usually what they're being called for, some kind of domestic disturbance, right?
Right.
So they're trained, I would imagine, to identify these sort of things and see it in her eyes, be like, yeah, she's not in a good place.
Right. And really a big thing was her son. You know, she's got this brand new baby. She was terrified that if she sought divorce, they would then have joint custody and she would have to leave her infant alone with him, and she didn't trust him. Ugh. What he could possibly be capable of.
That's sad.
So their son is 5 months old at the time of this story. His name is Jackson. And I will tell you, if you read our blog, there's multiple spellings of his name. It's the classic Jackson or J-A-X-S-O-N or something like that. So anyway, hopefully I got it right, but there was a discrepancy there. So basically, she had been waiting for a calm moment to make her move, but the moment just never seemed to come. She was very scared, and rightfully so. So Xavier was also physical with Sierra. He would shove her into things. He would throw things at her even when she was pregnant. And then even later when she was holding their infant child, he would throw things at her.
I cannot respect any man that does that kind of stuff, man. Like, we're bigger, we're stronger. Yeah, just... like, lay your hands off unless you get attacked or something. You know, that's the only time you can defend yourself. It's like, especially a pregnant woman, like, that's insane. That's like the most, like, fragile thing in the world as far as I'm concerned, is like, pregnant women can do whatever the hell they want because they're holding a human inside of them.
Right. Like, but they say that pregnancy is when a woman is the most vulnerable for being put in danger.
Really?
Yes.
That's so sad.
It There's is so sad. Many,
like, in all these guys, they never want to fight like another guy. You know, it's like always a woman, and it's like,
and not she's that, tiny.
Yeah. I'm sure. Not that women are lesser. It's just, you know, we're built bigger usually. And it's like such an easy target to, like,
right.
go after a
woman. He's a coward, clearly. I mean, you're going to hit somebody that's 5 feet tall and pregnant with your child. What the hell is wrong with you?
A lot of things.
So at one point, he hit her in the face with a gun. He threatened to kill her. He would scream at her. Family said that Sierra was a very smart girl. She never put up with anything from anyone. She was a spitfire. She was a tough girl. And they all encouraged her to leave him. And assured her that she had a safe place to go. And thank goodness they were that safe beacon. She did have a safe space to go. A lot of women do not. But still, this was a big decision for her to make, and scary one. So despite the fact that she had this safe place, she was just waiting until she felt the moment was right. Her mom and dad trusted their daughter, and they felt that she would knew what the right thing to do was and when. So they were, you know, leaving it up to her, because of course they're 11 hours driving distance away. They don't know exactly what's going on up there.
They're scared for her, but she's always done the right thing in her life, it sounds like. Like, she's very smart, very on top of things, and it sounds like it's calculated, and it's like, okay, we trust you.
Sure. So Sierra began texting her cousin, who was also her best friend. This is Shelby Campbell. So she was opening up a lot to Shelby about the issues that were going on in her marriage. It really started to open up in August of 2021, of like the flow of what was going on in the relationship. She was telling her that she sees things that scare her a lot for her future, and she didn't feel that they were things that she could accept or live with. She came up with a secret code with her cousin in case of an emergency. Sierra said she would call Shelby twice. That would then prompt Shelby to call the police, which is just awful. Like, you think your relationship is so bad that you have to have a secret code to save you. Just awful.
And by that time, it's time to get out. You know, like, I know she's trying to be calculated about it and trying to do it the safest way possible. But if you're getting to these thoughts, and odds are there's somebody listening to this podcast, the only reason I'm saying this is because hopefully to save somebody else, and especially you know, poor Sierra here, I have a feeling it's not going to end very well. And like all these stories, unfortunately. And if you're going through a similar situation, anything close where it's like, I have a plan that, you know, if something happens, something's probably going to happen.
Right.
And please, please get out of it while you can.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, they've got this plan, and Shelby indicated that these were just conversations they had via text. There were so many other conversations they had while they were just speaking on the phone about all the turmoil that was going on in the relationship. Sierra had actually recorded videos of Xavier being violent toward her. She did share these videos with her cousin.
Oh.
She told Shelby that she was genuinely concerned that Xavier was very capable of hurting her. Sierra left her parents' home the next day, which was Sunday, February 20th. She had the intention of just trying to placate the whole situation. She went to her mother-in-law's house with Xavier and the son, which was an hour drive away from where her parents were. This is the Parsons Walk subdivision in Johns Creek, Georgia. She told her family she would be back. So that was the last time they ever saw their daughter. This was Sunday, February 20th.
Oh, God.
She texted her dad the next day, which was Monday, February 21st at 11:17 p.m. She said she planned to be back at their house the next morning, the 22nd. The next day, Tuesday, the 22nd, they hadn't heard from Sierra. Nick reached out. She said that everything was okay, but she was actually feeling a little sick. Nick reached out to Sierra the next day, Wednesday, February 23rd, to see how she was feeling. He didn't get a response back. He texted again the next day, and again, no response. By Friday the 25th, they began to worry because it wasn't like Sierra not to respond. Shelby, her, you know, cousin and best friend, also wasn't getting any response, and those two were like sisters.
And who's Nick again?
Nick is her father.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So Shelby said that one of the last texts she received from Sierra said, "I'm at Xavier's mom's house. He won't give me Jackson, so I'm waiting to get him so I can leave." Mm. So it sounds like things were not going very
Something's happening.
Yeah. The next information that family heard wasn't until February 26. The Carmel police in Indiana called. So Nick gets this phone call that he doesn't recognize the number. He picks up. It's the Carmel police in Indiana. And they had told Nick and Kelly, Sierra's parents, that Xavier had actually reported their daughter missing in Indiana. They didn't even know 100% for certain that they had even left the state of Georgia at this point. And now they're getting a call that she's missing in Indiana. So their heads are spinning at this point in time.
Right. They're like, well, yeah, she's in Georgia.
And yeah. So they were like, what? So the family was confused by what they were being told. They assumed that Sierra was still in Georgia. They were baffled. They did not understand why Xavier would not have called them first to check, to, you know, see what was going on. Like, they're getting a call from the police, not their son-in-law.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? So Sierra's father, Nick Locklear, spoke with the Carmel police and then called his daughter's phone, and Xavier answered. Nick asked Xavier, what is going on? He was pleading with him to tell him the truth.
Well, you know he did something. Uh-huh. I mean, it's so clear. It's like, I'm getting a call from Indiana. You're answering her phone, so you have it. You did something. You're a piece of shit. What did you do to my daughter?
I can't imagine how her parents and her family must have felt at that moment. It makes me sick. Yeah. So he, of course, is calling Sierra's phone. Xavier is picking up, and he's saying to Xavier, Sierra told me if anything happened to her that you are the one that is responsible for it. So tell me the truth. Xavier told his father-in-law to go to hell and hung up. So Nick called Xavier's dad, who lives next door, literally next door to where Sierra and Xavier lived. And he had said, what's going on up there? I'm getting a call from the police. I thought Sierra was still here in Georgia. Have you seen her? Has she actually come back to Indiana? His own father said, no, I did not see Sierra.
That's good.
So,
good. I mean, good that he is being honest.
Yeah. 100%. So Xavier called the Carmel Police Department on February 26 and said that Sierra had left their home in the Brookstone Park of Carmel Subdivision in Carmel, Indiana, just after 10 p.m. to walk to the nearby store, which we're guessing is possibly CVS. Here's the kicker. He's calling to report her missing and telling the police that his wife was wearing a short black top. Some reports indicated that she was wearing a black tank top and purple shorts. It's February. We're in Indiana.
Yeah.
And AccuWeather records indicate that the temperatures were in the mid to upper 20s.
Okay.
And he's telling police that she left the house to walk to the store in a tank top and shorts. Mm. No.
Doesn't seem
I'm sorry. Plausible. I grew up in Illinois and I know that this wouldn't happen. So she'd left her wallet, her money, her IDs, her car keys, her personal cell phone, her work cell phone, and there was also a burner cell phone left behind.
Interesting.
She wouldn't have done this. She so this burner phone she would use to contact family in case of an emergency.
Cool. Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, she had left her five-month-old son, who family said she was deeply devoted to, as well as her beloved dog.
Like the
would never happen.
The son was probably top of her mind always.
100%.
There's no way that would happen.
I'm a mom. I
mean, unless she's going
never.
To the store, you know, going to the store, coming back, sure. But obviously something happened to her and he's trying to frame it as she went somewhere and like ran away from us, it sounds like. But yeah, this isn't happening. I didn't. What an idiot. What a freaking moron.
It's like, if you're going to make these, like, why would you say she's wearing a tank top and shorts in February?
I say it all the time. Thank God for idiots and moron stupid criminals like Xavier. Xavier Breland's a freaking idiot.
Right.
Thank God.
So police told the family that the store that he indicated she was walking to, there's no surveillance video of Sierra entering the store. There's no surveillance video of her inside the store. Xavier, you know, had said this is the store she was going to. Now, of course, he could frame it that, I don't know, something must have happened to her along the way. Maybe somebody picked her up. Maybe, you know, somebody did something to her.
It's not a good cover-up story, jackass.
So their son Jackson and their dog were back home, but there was no sign of Sierra. You know, police are telling everybody, if there's anything, you know, if you've seen something, she's 5 feet tall. She weighs about 120 pounds. She has blonde hair. This is who she is. Her face is being plastered everywhere.
She's not where he's saying. That's for sure.
So after reporting Sierra missing, Xavier was arrested on March 1st, 2022, not related to this case.
I'm just going to say they don't have anything yet.
No. So this was in Indiana, but he had to be extradited back to Georgia based on an arrest warrant that was issued February 24th of 2022, after he failed to appear for an arraignment in the stalking case that he had previously pleaded not guilty to. So this is something totally unrelated to what is going on with Sierra.
And you would think Sierra would have looked into this, you know, prior, especially, yeah, who knows if she has access to that kind of stuff.
But who knows? He's probably a huge liar.
Yeah, exactly. And like, oh, this happened and this happened, so this girl said this. It's like, yeah, I'm not blaming Sierra whatsoever.
Not at all.
You know, looking back, we hope, as parents, I'd be like, I wish you would have seen that and not gotten with this piece of shit.
Hindsight is very much 20/20.
Of course.
So his ex-wife had indicated that he placed a tracking device inside a stuffed animal that he gave to their daughter. Can you imagine? She's like, he's probably texting her with things like, how do you know where I am?
I mean, that's kind of smart. I will say that.
It's
cunning
and chilling and disturbing is what it is.
No doubt. He's a scumbag that deserves
a psychopath.
The worst. Yeah, but kind of smart.
So I'm only imagining this ex-wife is probably like, how does he always know where we are?
Yeah,
and then she's searching, and then to find a tracking device inside a stuffed animal.
She had to be going nuts to try to find that. Be like, how does he always finally find it?
That is very chilling to me. So he has two children with his ex-wife. They are ages 6 and 10. His ex-wife also alleged that he had made harassing calls despite a court order that banned him from communicating with her. Xavier's ex-wife and mother of his two children was seeking to terminate any sort of communication between him and his two children because she didn't trust him with them. She didn't want any kind of virtual video visits, saying that he is an absolute danger to their children. So Judge Alex Manning watched a video in court during a previous visit between Xavier and his two children. He told his son in this video and his daughter that their stepmom had been kidnapped and will not be returning. That's what he's saying about Sierra to his two children. In the video, the children became visibly upset. Judge Manning indicated that it was heartbreaking to watch. The little girl was falling apart and sobbing in the video.
Wow.
He was cleared of these charges about the stalking in August of 2022 by a jury. According to online jail records, he was then taken into custody in Fulton County on contempt of court charges. So within the statement he made to his two children, Sierra suddenly goes from missing, She was walking to a store to now she's kidnapped.
Yeah, he's decided.
The story has changed.
Police didn't tell you this, buddy. You're coming up with a story all on your own.
And that they will never see her again.
Yeah.
So he knows whatever happened to her is permanent.
Yeah.
So this is very telling what he's saying to his children.
I mean, you can frame it as, oh, they're children. I wanted to dumb it down for them. But no, this is
odd behavior. Very telling. So Xavier's attorney made a statement indicating that his client had nothing to do with Sierra's disappearance. And he is devastated by the fact that she's missing, which he did report to police. And that if he wasn't incarcerated on an unrelated matter, he himself would have been out searching for her. Yeah, search to the exact location you know her body is.
Right.
You Since piece you of garbage. So on March 2nd, 2022, Xavier was identified as a person of interest.
Duh.
In Sierra's disappearance, but he was not faced with any kind of criminal charges because they didn't have anything to pin him on.
Yeah, it's just odds are he probably did something. Yeah. His story is weird. He has no thing. Yeah, it's just like we don't have a smoking gun, like we always say.
Right. So family believes that Sierra never made it out of Georgia. There is no evidence to suggest that she ever made it back to their home in Indiana from their trip. The Carmel Police Department issued an alert for Sierra on Facebook page the next night, and soon the Johns Creek Police Department in Georgia were also joining in on the search, since that's believed to be more around the location that she's actually in. So I'm losing my point here.
So you're getting, while you're looking into that, you're getting to a point that I'm not liking very much, because it sounds like we don't have a whole lot of more information.
No, I'm going to tell you, we are left not knowing what happens in this case. Sadly. Okay. Sadly, and tragically for the family, they don't have answers, but we're going to just keep going. So again, the Georgia police are joining in on this, as well as the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, as well as the FBI. So a lot of police are involved in the search. The FBI has offered a $10,000 reward for any information that can lead to Sierra. Because again, in these cases, we think somebody may have seen something and not even known they saw what they saw.
If everybody can report something, whatever, and then they'll put all of it together and figure it out.
So the last known sighting of Sierra was from a surveillance video of her standing outside her mother-in-law's suburban Atlanta home at 7:17 p.m. on February 24th. When she was seen leaving that home. Police believe that the couple made it 45 miles southwest of the family home together. Why they know that exact information of the 45 miles, I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. So there's also that video of her in front of her mother-in-law's house. It's never been released.
And would 75 miles west still be 45. In Georgia? Or 45 miles still in Georgia? Okay. Because Atlanta's right in the middle of Georgia.
And yeah, so they're in, what did I say, Johns Creek? Is that what I said? The Johns Creek, yeah, is the actual area where she was, right outside of Atlanta, I guess.
So what's interesting, she texted her dad February 21st and said she would text him on the 22nd.
So stuff was going on.
And but she's still alive.
On the 24th, she is still alive.
At night, 7:17 p.m.
Yes.
Okay, so something that night, most likely.
Right.
2:24 in somewhere, 45 miles west?
45 miles southwest of that family home is where they believe she had last made it to.
They have a good reason to believe.
They have a good reason. We don't know.
They're not sharing it because there's probably something with the investigation. We got to go by what they're telling us. Basically, they're trying to give little tidbits so that people can say it. So if you were anywhere near, like, you know, that area. This is so solvable because you know Xavier's a piece of shit that did something that left some kind of trail somewhere.
So from there, investigators haven't released very many details because this is an active investigation. The video of Sierra in front of her mother-in-law's home hasn't been released, like I said. Sierra's cousin, Shelby, said that she had received texts from Sierra in August that said that her husband is nuts. And again, in black and white writing, if anything happens to me, he is responsible. I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. Shelby turned her cell phone over to investigators that contained all these text messages, as well as the videos that she had sent that showed Xavier being erratic and abusive.
And they're all making this into this file that they're putting against.
They're building a case.
Yeah.
So the police have all this information. She told the police, you know, Xavier had made many threats to kill her and specifically said that if he did, he would throw her into a lake. So my mind is going to the fact that that's likely where her body is.
Absolutely.
He said this to Sierra when she was very much alive. Did he follow through with what he threatened? We don't know.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of lakes.
There's a lot of lakes.
It's really hard to find people mm-hmm. in these.
Shelby feels that she has no hope that her cousin will ever come home, but she has pushed away her feelings of grief until she has answers as to what actually happened to her cousin. She said that there's this void that has been left behind since Sierra disappeared that only grows each and every day that passes. She knows her cousin would not have ever stayed away from her son for an hour, let alone this extent of time. She also feels that the situation hasn't sunk in. She feels a tremendous disconnect, just waiting for Sierra to call. She wants to say to Sierra, oh my gosh, she would not believe what's been going on here.
Of course.
Because it's like it's not real.
Yeah.
And that's just so awful. After Sierra disappeared, her parents were asked if they felt, do you think your daughter is alive? Her parents said, no, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that she is alive because she would never leave her child for a minute. Kelly, Sierra's mom, also believes that her daughter won't be coming home. She feels that since her disappearance, a light has been extinguished from her life. And that every day, she said, like, I don't ever imagine in my life we won't feel sick with what's going on. Like, how will this feeling ever go away? It's like you're trapped in hell.
Yeah.
Without answers. In November of 2022, Xavier was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm by a serious felon. The charges stem from an incident that happened 2 days after he reported Sierra missing, which was February 28th, 2022. Court documents indicate that there was an accidental discharge of a firearm at their home in Baldwin Lane. There's an investigation that was said that there was some sort of incident that he was moving a Christmas tree in their garage. He heard a gunshot and ran outside. He returned to the garage and located the gun and unloaded it. Investigators say that there was a Sig Sauer Peace 365 and another gun that were found at the scene. During this incident, he handed the officers a missing person flyer for his wife. He's like, hey, while you're here, can you help with my missing wife?
Yeah, I got to make this story believable. Yeah, here you go.
As a gun is going off, it's like, oh, man. So one makes you think that a gun was involved in Sierra's death.
100%. Well, I mean, he did hit her with it before, a gun. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
gun.
For sure. He was, I'm positive he's hitting her with a gun. He was threatening her with a gun.
I wouldn't doubt if she was like taking, yeah, unfortunately, taken out execution style and all that stuff. I don't want to, you know.
I know. But. I'm sure her family's, you know, constantly going over what could have happened.
Yeah.
So court records indicate that he had also been charged with felony burglary charges in 2005. He was extradited from Georgia back to Hamilton County, Indiana on unrelated charges on February 9th. He was released after posting a surety bond the next day, which was February 10th. At his initial hearing, he pleaded with the judge to lower his bond to an amount that his mother could afford. It was set at $35,000. Prosecutors wanted to raise it to $50,000 because he was saying he needed this opportunity to get out, get a job. He wanted to become a truck driver. He's telling the judge, you know, I'm going through a custody battle with my one-year-old son.
Believe nothing this guy says.
What does the judge do? He raises the bond to $100,000.
Hell yeah. You don't tell me what to do, you piece of shit. You stop killing your wives and being a piece of shit father.
So Sierra's parents have since been granted custody of Jackson. Thank goodness. So at least they have a piece of their daughter with them and they know he's safe.
Yeah.
The FBI continues to work with both the Johns Creek PD as well as the Carmel PD. Because again, we're working through multiple states here.
Yeah.
Sierra's family adamantly believes that Xavier knows exactly what happened to their daughter.
Well, they're 100% right.
They hope and pray that one day he will give them the answers that they need in order to get closure and allow Sierra to rest in peace. Over the past year, multiple organized searches have been done, some targeting specific areas, because again, the police are saying this whole 45-mile thing. I believe there's some information that tells them where she may be, more hone in on where she might be found.
Surveillance of, like, you know, maybe two people in his car, you know, or something like that. And, you know, maybe they don't want to come out with it because they don't want to let Xavier know that they found him somewhere.
Right. So a lot is being held close to the chest because this is an active and ongoing case. Again, Sierra is described as being blonde. She's 5 feet tall. She's about 120 pounds. Her last known location was, again, February 24th, 2022, at 10545 Highgate Manor Court in Johns Creek, Georgia, at 7:17 p.m. This is the mother-in-law's house. She was driving her 2017 Volkswagen Tiguan with a Georgia license plate. The plate number is TMB5869. The plate has an FSU law school frame around it.
Ooh, that's good.
Sierra has multiple tattoos. She has a Florida State arrow on top of her left wrist. She has a sunburst on her back left rib cage and three small trees on top of her ring finger. She has three freckles on her right jawline. It's not clear as to what extent of cooperation investigators have received from Xavier's mom, because again, this was the last known location that they'd seen her alive. You know, what does she know? But it's known that evidence was collected from this home after a search warrant had been executed. Forensic experts and cadaver dogs were brought in during the search as they looked for any kind of blood, any kinds of struggle signs, any clues that could indicate what happened during their stay at that house. Police indicated that the canine dogs found no good scent trail at the home, but we do know that the video showed them pulling out of that driveway. So odds are they're not going to find much there. He drove to another location.
You got to think he went somewhere that he knows about. You know, obviously they're going to look into his childhood or whatever. You know, any time he spent in this area, the PC, okay, would he know these lakes? So like what, you know, is right. He fishing
these places? Where's a good spot?
Yeah.
And obviously the car would have been searched. So I assume whatever happened to Sierra happened outside the car so that there maybe wasn't any kind of blood evidence. Because
then they'd have him in court already.
Right. I mean, I'm sure this guy was pretty calculated.
Yeah.
So all evidence that has been collected remains under investigation. Anyone with any information, if you have seen this car in this area, is asked to call Corporal Rozier with Johns Creek PD at 678-372-8046 or the Carmel PD at 317-571-2580 or the FBI at 800-CALL-FBI. And that's where we stand in this case. You know, her family is left in hell, not knowing what happened to her.
Yeah, that's got to be really, really hard. I mean, they know what happened. They know Xavier's responsible. They just don't know where, you know, where
and how.
Yeah, exactly.
And what were their daughter's last moments like?
I'm looking at Johns Creek on a map, so it's a little northeast of Atlanta. It's a suburb of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anybody down in that area, give them a call, tell them about this story, have them listen to any podcast or news thing, at, you know, ours, whatever, it doesn't matter. But it's more important about finding her and getting this Xavier, you know, behind bars.
Right. And the whole point is that her family, they know that she's not alive. They have come to terms with that. They want to bring her home, lay her to rest as she should be, and have closure in this.
Yeah, this guy can't get away with it. Not to mention, he can't be out in public.
No.
He needs to be, like, executed, basically. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, west of Atlanta, Smyrna, Austell, Douglasville. You know, if you know anybody out in those areas, call and try to find, you know, give them information to see if they saw anything that night.
Yeah, and I too, we don't know a lot about this investigation, what kind of CCTV footage we have. And that's where I think they've utilized these cameras. And that's where I think they've gotten this 45-mile information.
Yeah.
That everywhere you go, there's CCTV footage. And this was a very nice home that they had left at the mother-in-law's house. I'm sure pretty much every house in this neighborhood has, you know, cameras, ring doorbells, etc. And then they pick it up on businesses and such along the way. I'm sure that's where then they saw something to lead them to this 45 miles.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, well.
And I just hope. I will just have to keep our ears open for this case because this is absolutely active and ongoing. They're continuing the search. And I just pray to God that they will find some answers and give her family some sense of closure.
So 45 miles south is like South Fulton, Georgia. South okay. Fulton, Union City, Fairburn, College Park, maybe area. Like, it's. I'm just only saying it. If any of these ring a bell to anybody listening, like,
yeah,
call
and,
your friends.
And my whole question is, obviously, we know that Xavier returned home to Indiana. He made it. So there's clearly gas station footage that shows him pumping gas by himself. No sign of Sierra.
Yeah.
So I'm sure what the police have found is him with her and then him by himself.
Right.
So it just sickens me.
It's a matter
me.
Of time. I truly think it's a matter of time until they nail him down.
They want to get all the evidence they can to nail him. Yeah. You know, that there's no question that they've got this piece of shit.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm so sorry to her family. Mm-hmm. And
my heart breaks. I was actually just listening to a video with them and like I had tears in my eyes just thinking of the utter hell they must be living in.
Yeah.
Every single day.
And the hell that Sierra had to live through, unfortunately. Yeah.
And her son is growing up without his mother.
Yeah, because Xavier sucks. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of guy, like, I'd love to put a band of brothers together here, you know, like, you know, 100 guys that just go around and breaking legs of guys that, like, beat the shit out of women, you know?
I mean, I don't think bad is, it, like, two wrongs make a right. I don't like that.
I'd like to try it just in case. You know, maybe they do make it right.
Mike's making a band of brothers.
Yeah.
I say just get this piece of shit and get him locked up.
Well, here's what I picture, okay? Just let me get this out of my head. So I want to put his legs in between, like, blocks, like 2x4s.
Are we talking, like, Misery style with Kathy Bates?
100%. And I want to smash his legs with a sledgehammer at his kneecaps, like right there.
Oh man, you are sick.
Well, he's a lowlife. Like,
well, I would agree wholeheartedly with that.
That's essentially what a grown man, like, hitting a woman that's defenseless is doing.
Right.
Like, you basically have him clamped down because of this love and bullshit that you're feeding them, and they're believing it because they're sweet and kind-hearted
and kind and loving.
They want to believe the best out of you, mm-hmm. and you're mentally manipulating them. Well, I'd like to physically manipulate you in the form of destroying your kneecaps and shins. And things.
I'm not going
to
cross you.
Right. So please don't.
So that's, you know, a sad story. And hopefully there's some closure to this case coming up.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
Well, thank you.
So that's Sierra's story. And I'm so sorry for her family. Absolutely. That they're living in this hell.
Thank you for sharing it. And hopefully, yeah, anything can lead to more answers.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you are, you know, like the stories you're hearing and would like to hear more of, you know, the way we deliver things, then we have plenty of options. We have got the Patreon that you can become patrons. We'd like to say welcome to our latest Crime and Coffee Couple Club members, Kirsten and Tina.
You guys are awesome.
Kirsten just joined like less than 12 hours ago.
Well, so. We are so appreciative of you guys. You have no idea.
Tina, like last week. So like last Saturday or Sunday or something. So yeah. Thank you so much.
And those are like such like boosts in our weeks. I mean, I can't tell you how much it like elates me when Mike shoots those messages through. It's undescribable.
Allison puts in hours of work in all these.
Indescribable. We'll go with that.
And you know, like anybody else, it definitely helps out.
I'm always tapping away at the keyboard and you're like, do you enjoy this? And I was like, I love it.
I'm always checking on your mental health because I want to make sure that you're still enjoying yourself. And she is somehow some sick way.
So, some sick way.
Like she likes to get, you like to get the stories out of the people so that other people can hear it. And you know, hopefully we learn or find more information or whatever it may be, you know, like remember these people.
Absolutely.
They're human beings. Every single one of these people.
100%. These people lived a life and have, you know, a whole story behind them. And we, you know, we're just telling a snippet of it, but
yeah. So, again, if you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe button on whatever you're listening to us to. Okay. Tell your friends, tell your family. We appreciate it.
And until next time, bye.